that you walking in the kingdom, you're able to receive. There's some that he's calling out. You might understand a little bit better if I go on. But like I say, to those that are listening on the sermon audio, I'm sorry that you missed the introduction in the first portion of this that had knocked the recording off. But we won't go back through sleeping and through the dead and everything again. But the poor in spirit will inherit the same kingdom that the meek will, and that kingdom will be set up on earth. That's God's kingdom. But this spiritual realm, as I tell you, the kingdom of God, we can see into that realm because of the regeneration of being born again, because we're in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It's like peering in, like Paul when he said he was taken up to the third heaven, the heaven of heavens. In other words, in a trance, and we don't know, he said he didn't know whether he was woke, asleep, or in a trance, or what was going on, or how he was, but he was transported, just like Jesus was transfigured with the three apostles. At that time, there was disciples, with the three disciples that was up on the Mount of Configuration when he was transfigured. The ram, the spiritual ram that they saw into with Moses and Elijah and Jesus meeting together, was a spiritual ram that they were looking in. And Peter wanted to build up tabernacles for each one of them and dwell there, whatever. But he got a chance to look in the spiritual ram. God opens up that spiritual ram for his people to look into, that he births again. You remember when Micaiah the prophet, Ahab had called him to him? Well, God had allowed Micaiah to look in the spiritual realm, and he seen God sitting on the throne, and God called the spirits to the throne, and a lying spirit came before God, and he said, how is I going to get Ahab in the battle where I can kill him? And a lying spirit says, I'll be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all his prophets. He said, go on and you'll succeed. Micaiah was relating to Ahab something that he had seen in the spiritual realm. That's why when we're reading of Isaiah, notice that chapter 2, I told you yesterday, it begins with saying, the word of the Lord that Isaiah saw, whereas in the first chapter, it says the vision that Elijah saw, what Isaiah saw. So if we can get a vision, that's why I say you have to really be spiritual or concentrated for God to give you a vision, because you're looking in a different realm. All these people say the Lord gave them a vision and they're living any kind of life and all this. I don't believe all that. That's why I say you can live a stronger life. If you get closer to God, you can weed out all the people that's wasting your time with religious foolishness. Even though it's from the Bible, they're full of foolishness. They're vain talkers, and the Lord hadn't told them anything. We won't be deceived by them because we're studied up in the Lord. See, he's talking to the overcomers, not just anybody, and any preaching teachers and things. Just, it's so many of them out here. They come a dime a dozen. So in Galatians 3 and 29 says that if we belong to Christ, then we are considered to be Abraham's seeds, and thus heirs, though not inheritors yet, of the promises to Abraham. So whatever Abraham inherits in the resurrection, we also will inherit. Genesis 13 and 15 says that the inheritance is eternal. It's eternal inheritance. So these won't be taken away from us. If it's the inheritance that God had given us, because remember, he's establishing an eternal kingdom. But these was to Abraham's children of faith. Romans 4:13 explains the promises is expanded to include what? The whole world. It wasn't just Israel. That's why you see, when people talking about Jerusalem over there and Israel, that nation and all that, they don't understand what they're saying. This promise was expanded to include the whole world. That's why he changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham, because it was of many nations. It wasn't just to Israel. That's why I told you in Isaiah 2, that's the Gentiles coming. That's going to be to all nations, says, let us go up to the house of God. So that Jerusalem is the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven. It's not geographical, but the time that it becomes physical, it's going to encompass the whole earth. The whole earth will be full of the knowledge of God, but right now it's spiritual. It's in a realm that those that are born again can see into if God allows them to see, but not all of them see. So you can't just go to church and live any kind of way. That's why I say I couldn't just go among a lot of people and watch a game and focus upon these things or whatever and remain spiritual. That throws you, to be consecrated to God, you can't keep getting thrown off like that. You can't get entangled into the world. That's why Peter said, well, look, you get the deacons and things to serve the table and do all these other things. We must study and devote ourselves to the word of God. So those of us that are not consistently studying the word of God and praying and living for God, but letting the world intersect us, we're not going to have that stronger life. I'm not saying become a monk and go to some sort of sanctuary somewhere by yourself, but you do need that time alone with God and to get your thinking straight. Now, if your neighbors and relatives and people always at your house, you say, well, look, everybody just got to leave and let me have time to think, be my mom self. Heaven, though, was not part of the promises to Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob and us. It was the earth. Notice that. The whole earth, its seed would be as the sand of the sea, but it was the earth. The Bible shows that the kingdom of God will be set up on earth, though. That the kingdom of God will be set up on earth. And he says, and you have made them a kingdom in the book of Revelation 3:50. Revelations 3, wait a minute, because I'm trying to do three things here. Revelations 5 and 10 says, and you have made them a kingdom, a royal race of priests to God, and they shall reign on the earth. Revelations, notice in Revelation 7:15 as well, which prophesies that Christ's kingdom will take over the kingdoms of this earth. We was talking about that yesterday in Daniel, that while these kingdoms on earth that we've seen in Daniel 2:44, 45, and 46, during that time, during this time, God's kingdom is being set up here on earth, cut out from hands, because that's his church that's down here working by his authority up on earth. So we don't have any power over the civil governments on earth. We can't, that's why I said we can't get entangled in the affairs of this world, of this life. It was a church minister from right out here the other day from Community Bible or something, Lee Wesley or whatever his name, got the city of Baton Rouge tied up against Exxon. They wanting to leave and not build here anymore. Well, what the church has to do with what Exxon or anybody else does in the world? Those churches mislead the people out because a good soldier don't get entangled in the affairs of the world. We are ambassadors for Christ. We represent the kingdom of God. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. So we can't rule and reign in a world that's not our world. Satan is the god of this world. So we don't get entangled in these things. We're just a watcher. We are witnesses of what's going on. Then the seven angels sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world has become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. How does he do this? Because he has already had the ambassadors, which is his church. We're his ambassadors down here that have been training and preparing to rule and reign with him as his government is set up. You remember the five wise and the five foolish? Well, all of those was representative of people in the church, of brides of Christ, but five were foolish. They couldn't go in with the bridegroom because they didn't continue to trim their lamps. They wasn't prepared to serve. They wasn't prepared for the bridegroom. The church is what gets us ready. We have to learn of what pacifies, what pleases our master, our husband. Mm-hmm. A bride wants to learn to please her husband and to continue to do that. Sometimes you marry a person and months or years later, they change and they don't care what happens. They won't even cook you dinner. They won't even go to work to support you. The marriage changed because why? You've become unthankful and ungrateful. Yeah. Jesus talks about those that had lost their first love. But these that's going to rule and reign with him won't lose that. Love, hope, and faith will endure forever, and it's in Christ. That's the object of our love. We won't ever grow cold toward him. So he's training the church right now. A priesthood has to be done what? If he's training the priesthood, apparently the priesthood has to have parishioners. We shall inherit the heathen. A priesthood teaches others. We're supposed to be able to learn this so that we can teach it to others. Amen. The only way I keep learning is that I keep teaching. And the more I teach, the more I learn so I can teach it, the more God give me. But if I keep it and hide it within, it gets stale. It's not. It becomes a reservoir and not a channel which the word of God flowed through. That's what Israel did. They didn't teach the word of God. They didn't live the word of God. Thus, they wasn't glorifying God. Thus, they wasn't drawing people to God. Thus, the kingdom ended with them. He says the kingdom will be taken away from them and given to others that's going to do what they're supposed to do. The church is not doing what it's supposed to do now, just like Israel didn't do what it did then. And Christ says, I'll come and I'll fight against the church because they have allowed it to become corrupted. We have to get ready for this kingdom because John said the kingdom of God is near. And then Jesus come to declare the kingdom of God is come. It is here. Three times in the book of Revelation, Apostle John describes the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming where? Down out of heaven rather than in heaven. He called it was coming down, the New Jerusalem. This is the Jerusalem that's going to be of the whole earth. He saw a new heaven and a new earth. All this other had passed away. It will be cleansed and purified. So through faith, through our sanctification, through the regeneration, he is recreating the earth. He's doing his what he said in the beginning, making man in his image and likeness, all those that are not are under the fiery judgment of God. He said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, for they soon shall not be. They soon cut off. He's going to do it by the zeal of the Lord of hosts, by his spirit. And if we're not setting this thing on fire, preaching and teaching and living the word of God, we'll be part of that that's gone. The church, the Laodiceans were lukewarm, the reason he spewed them out of his mouth. God himself will dwell with men. And now, some people say not in heaven, but the heaven of heavens couldn't contain God, so God would be able to dwell here with men and being in heaven, but it's a different teaching, a little bit more teaching that I don't want to go into now to explain that to you. But he's going to dwell with men here on earth. God's going to dwell with man. Revelation, that was, I tell you, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea than John. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and there will be, and he will be their God. God will wipe away their tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my people. So, there's a many of different passages in the Bible that shows us the kingdom of God being established here on earth, and that we have to start letting scripture define and explain scriptures instead of bringing these other things out of scripture and going along with past teachings we've heard. Okay, since I'm in this and I won't get a chance to get to that other thing, did you bring that paper I gave you yesterday?
No,
I didn't. Okay, don't worry about it. We'll go on and try to cover these pages and we'll start the other Wednesday night. Like I said, we can only give account for what we teach as a church, not what other churches teach us. But for the church universal, in other words, the church Catholic, in other words, God's church is universal, and the teachings is the same. No matter where you go, the teachings are going to be the same. Now, you're going to have other churches and things with some doctrine and thing mixed up, but the church of God is one, and that's why I say when they say, let us go up to the house of God to learn of the Lord, that teaching's going to be universal. So what we're teaching, what I'm saying that we're teaching should be the word of God, and it dwells forever throughout eternity. But we see that that's what's not of God. You'll see the teaching changes, or what they accept changes. And we have the Jehovah's Witnesses, which teaches the kingdom of God. I hadn't investigated all of their teachings. Some of their teachings, I've been around people in different things. But that is right about the kingdom of God being here on earth. In this age, the god of this world, Satan the devil, was placed here, allowed to be here by God. If you read 2 Corinthians 4:4, you'll see that Satan is the god of this world. But in Genesis, you don't see God placing Satan in the earth. You see Adam and Eve yielded to his form of government through disobedience to God. They yielded to earth. They gave authority over the earth to him. But if we examine the scriptures, that's why I say you have to be good Bereans. In other words, go back and study the scriptures. And I don't know if all of y'all, but the ones that are studying the scriptures and putting a few hours in the scriptures each day, I think God is making it more plain to you. And you have to go back and study it. But you'll see in Isaiah 14 chapter 12 through the 15th verse, and Ezekiel the 28th chapter 12 through the 7th verse, Matthew, the 4th chapter, 8th through the 9th verse, and Jude, the 6th verse, of Satan being cast down on earth, or what happened to Satan, how he got in the earth. You remember in one passage in Matthew where he said he seen Satan fall like lightning, and it says, beware the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan has come down unto you. Well, just like Satan, if you can't agree or don't agree with God, you'll be cast down. We'll be destroyed. We'll be ultimately judged. When Satan and his angels sinned, they rejected God's government and established their own government up on earth, not believing God, and that's where they are to this day. In the book of Judah says the angels that sinned, that kept not their first habitation, been reserved in chains of darkness. They're here on this earth. When God created man, Adam and Eve chose to follow Satan in that rebellion, and that condemned all man to that. Because in Adam, we all die. So we are all in Adam. That's where that condemnation comes. Presently, however, only those whom God calls and works with who voluntarily submitted to God's rule. In other words, we voluntarily obey those things that God says. We want to obey God. His commandments are not grievous unto us. So those of us that are breaking God's laws and not learning him and living within him, we still under the authority of Satan, because we're still yielding our members to unrighteousness. We have to crucify our flesh. And by crucifying that flesh and resisting the devil, we grow more in God and be able to see more in that spiritual realm. We're being regenerated into his image and his likeness. As we pull off the old man and put on the new man, the old man is Adam, it is fleshly, it is carnal, but we put on Christ, which is spiritual, the new man. These people known as true Christians have been born again, spiritually regenerated as a new creation. He's creating us as all things are new, even us, we're born again. So it's the regeneration. I told you about the regeneration. He says, in the regeneration that we would rule and reign with him. We are regenerated into a new creation, into a relationship with God and Christ. Now, see, that's where the Pentecostal doctrines and some of the things I learned in that deviate from, because they believe in the oneness God and they eliminate the Godhead. But God the Father is there. God did send Christ, but he was in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. We'll see that where it ends at in 1 Corinthians. Where after Jesus had accomplished the work God had given him to do, and he did say the Father had sent him. Yeah. And just like the Father sent him, he sends us. So there is a work for us to do, just as a work it was for Christ to do. The relationship of God and Christ, and we are spiritually inducted into the kingdom of God. We're placed in that realm spiritually. Not physically. Now listen, it's not totally physical. That's why when he was saying the kingdom of God was among them, it's within you. Listen in Ephesians 2, and I wrote only the sixth verse because I wanted to keep reiterating it more deeply. But Ephesians 2, 5 through 7, even when we were dead in sins, had he quickened us together with Christ. In other words, just like he was in God, he had made us alive in Christ. He quickened us. He made us alive. We were dead in sin and trespasses. And he had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. So if we are hid in Christ, where are we? In heavenly places. We sat in that sphere. We no longer live, but it's Christ that liveth in us. And he's bringing us into that image, enlightening us. The Living Version, I think it is, says, and lifted us up from the grave into glory along with Christ, where we sit with him in heavenly realms, all because of what Christ did. So we have to see when Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord, we dwell in heavenly places. Are you hearing this? Yeah. See, we're no longer, we died with Christ. So he says the body is dead. I'm trying to get your answer here. The body is dead, so we have to consider ourselves dead, but alive in Christ Jesus. That's why it says, the flesh liveth, it is Christ that liveth in him. That's what's alive. The old man is dead. We bury it with him. We're trying to bury that old man. It's a new, we have a new mind, a new thought. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus, walking in a different way. Paul writes that our citizenship is in heaven. It's a dual citizenship in a way, because the body has to exist here, but as ambassadors, we're not under the laws of this land, but we obey the laws of this land. He says, be obedient to the authority of the governments that be for Christ's sake. In other words, we shouldn't be rebellious citizens of Jesus Christ, disobeying the things of this world. That's why I say, we don't get entangled in the affairs of this life, in their politics, their religion, their governments, or anything else. We're living for Christ right here on earth, right here wherever he had placed us. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians 3:20, he likens us to ambassadors for Christ. You know, ambassador represents another. We are representatives of the kingdom of God. We're representatives, we're sons of God, we represent God. That's why our character has to be like him. We want to please our God. It shouldn't be different. It should be holy as he is holy. Be holy as he's holy. 2 Corinthians 5:20 also, emissaries of a foreign government are subject to its laws and methods. So whatever's going on here, we have to remain subject to them. We don't just go out and break the speed limit, go out and do what we want to do, because we have to have that obedience to Christ to obey those that have rule and authority over us here, unless it disagrees with God's government. Remember I told you Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when he says, now man ought to obey God rather than man. So when those laws contradict one another, we're still under the higher authority, and that is of God. However, Christians have not yet fully entered into God's kingdom. In other words, we still have a bodily presence, a physically presence here on earth. They are still flesh and blood, what which cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Remember that flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now I say this, brother, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. That's why I say we in a corruptible body, how can we inherit, be inheritors of that which is incorruptible? We would have to be changed. So we're waiting on a change. Job knew this that preachers don't know now. That's why Job said, look, just hide me in the grave. And one day I shall see God for myself, and I'll stand before him at that time. Job was speaking of a resurrection. So we believe that whatever's going on, that if we're not the ones that are left in this generation to see God, that there will be a change. That this old body will change. It won't be suffering from bad knees and bad eyesights and all kinds of other handicaps and infirmities. That's our hope. Our hope is in Christ. It's not in man developing nothing else or whatever. It won't be like this always. Amen. That's a strong hope now. Now, you know, I go on and I live this way because my hope is in Christ. It's not in nothing man can do. This will occur at the resurrection from the dead when Christ returns to the earth to restore God's government. The rule of God that started in the garden will be restored to earth. That's why he told the cherubim, when the Godhead was speaking, he says, look, set cherubims at before the tree so that they wouldn't eat of the tree of life and live forever. So man wasn't able to gain immortality or eternal life because God didn't want us to live forever in this state of knowing good and evil. He didn't want us to learn of this world and of this life. This is of Satan. This world is of Satan. He didn't want us with that knowledge. That's why he says, don't let them eat of the tree. He told Adam not to eat of that tree, but man disobeyed him. So God's going to put us back into that state of purity, in that state of innocence, that we don't have any knowledge of this. We won't have any knowledge of our families or relationships or any of that that's bad in the life to come. He's going to wipe away all tears. So that means we wouldn't have any knowledge of whether our husband, our wife, our children or whatever missed heaven. I mean, missed the kingdom of God. Because wouldn't that put something in our mind if we had to live to think how they was living or what happened to them? So we will have no more remembrance of former things. We will be in eternal bliss, in eternal peace and joy. Nothing will ever disturb us. That would be the rest that we've entered in. He's going to restore as he bring in his peace, prosperity, and refreshing in all these things. That's what God's kingdoms will literally bring in the millennial reign. So we in preparatory stages here as the church for the millennial reign of Christ. We're walking therein. Isaiah 9:6-7 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of the government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So he's setting up a government. It's in the day, Daniel says, in the days of those kings. In other words, while this world is going on, there's be an end to Gentile rule and reign. God's kingdom will start to rule and reign. He's going to set up a kingdom, and it'll be eternal bliss, eternal peace. It'll be his government. In the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter, the 19th through the 21st verse says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." Those are prerequisites of entering into the kingdom of God. Turning from your ways, a repentance and a conversion, a regeneration, a justification and a conversion, a regeneration, having faith that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. A time of making new again, how you refresh something. And you know, you're on your computer, how you refresh your browser, you can spin it in and it refreshes it. It removes everything else that was there. "He shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive." Now it says the heavens, because we know all power and all authority was given in him. But he took a seat. He sat on high. He says, "Sit thou at thine right hand till I make thine enemies thine footstool." So as a high priest, he's setting up on high, but he's preparing a place for us. And he's going to bring that place down the earth. That's New Jerusalem. He's preparing that kingdom. Just because somebody said, "Oh, we will go up to heaven," the way he's preparing a place for us. Tell me this. When my wife says, "Well, I'm cooking dinner, I'm preparing dinner for you," or whatever, do we all, me and my wife and five kids, eat dinner in the kitchen when she's preparing it? She prepares it and she brings it to the dining room. God's preparing this. The work is being done, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this preparation is going to be accomplished on earth just like it is in heaven, identical to it. "The heavens must receive unto the times of restitution," or restoration of all things, which God has spoken by all of his holy prophets since the world began. He's been talking about this new heaven and new earth where the lamb lay down with the lion. He's going to reverse the nature. He's going to reverse nature where snakes won't be violent animals. They'll have that nature God designed to them, where the most poisonous snake, a child could play on his hole, on his nest without being killed. Where a lamb could lay down with a lion or a bear. They will do no harm or hurt in his holy mountain. The whole earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. It will be paradise. It will be where the government of God is. "Now change your mind and attitude and turn to God so he can cleanse away your sins." 1 Corinthians, let me hurry with this. 1 Corinthians 15:22 through 28. "For just as in Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ is the first fruits, then those who are Christ's, who will be resurrected with incorruptible bodies." So there has to be a resurrection. The resurrection not is at the time you die, but it's in the moment, in the twinkling eye. It's a general resurrection that Christ does, the first coming that he does in his millennial reign. He says, incorruptible and immortal bodies. We won't have bodies that get sick. We won't have bodies that have these handicaps. And he says, immortal bodies. We won't die again. There'll be no more death. Those that have part in the first resurrection, the second death has no power over them. That's why he says, some that are standing here now will not taste of death before they see the Lord come. And I believe we're living in that generation. I believe I'll see Christ come back. And that's the way I'm living, that I believe I'll be in the generation to see him return. And at his coming. So we're not going to change before those that are asleep, that are passed on. But we all shall be changed in the twinkling of eye. So like I am now, man, I'm going to be able to Pastor won't walk in here limping and going on the way he did. I'd be able to run out of here. I'd run like a deer or something. No more pain and no more cramps, no more bad knees and hips and things. He says, after that comes the end, the completion, as that's when he hands over the kingdom to the Father. So in other words, all of this work that he's accomplished, I mean, you remember I say we should be doing a work he had created us? Well, the first fruits, we're accomplishing that work. That kingdom is a 1,000-year kingdom. I don't want to get into numerology now, whatever, but that 1,000-year reign is actually, if you look in Jewish numerism, is a 2,000-year reign. So that's why I say, I think we're right at the end of that second day. You read it in the Bible where it says, after the second day. So after these 2,000 years, it's been 2,000 years since he's been gone, and he's been ruling and reigning, setting up the kingdom. So the next 1,000 years would be the millennial reign. That third, 3 is the number of divinity. But let me go on here. He says, that's when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father. And after that, he had made inoperative and abolished every ruler and every authority and power. That's what Daniel was saying, that he would destroy all other kingdoms. That's why I say, if you're not with him, all these other churches and all of the other nations, everything has to fall. He's going to destroy and make inoperable and abolish everything that's not like him. He's renewing the earth. For Christ must reign as king until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished and put to an end is death. That's why I say, I think I'll see him accomplish that, putting death behind. See, because death has lost its sting and the grave has no victory. But we'll see that accomplished, that last enemy, because he's going to do what? Change our mortal body into immortality. That's what we've been seeking, right? That's the last enemy. That's the next enemy that's coming. He says, for he, the Father, has put all things in subjection under Christ's feet. But when he says all things have been put in subjection under Christ, it is clear that God the Father put all things in subjection to Christ is accepted, since the Father is not in subjection to his own Son. You remember? If God had given him all power and authority, that power and authority, listen to me, Pentecostals, that power and authority excludes God now. Because he that is sent is not greater than he that sent him. He had subjected all of this to, just say, if I say I'm Switzerland, I'm going to remain neutral. In other words, God trusted Christ, just like Christ trusted him to raise him from the dead. That how many of your children would you trust to give your power of attorney and everything to accomplish a job, and that you trust them after that job accomplished would give it back to you? Or would they keep it because it's absolute power and authority and they're not compelled to do it? Just like Christ voluntarily laid down his life, God had voluntarily gave him all power and authority. Doesn't mean he was greater than God. That's the respect. That's the unity we have in the Godhead, that after Jesus accomplished his work, he's going to deliver up the kingdom to God. He's going to give it back. It says however, when all things are subjected to Christ, you remember, every knee, every tongue shall bow to Christ. When all that is accomplished, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who put all things under him. He's going to be subjected back to God because they are one. That power God had given him to accomplish this comes back to God. Now, I think Tony Evans explained this pretty good one time I heard. You know, I used to listen to him from time to time. Like I say, every doctrine or religion has some truth in it. He says, who put all things so that God may be all in all, manifesting his glory without opposition, the supreme indwelling and controlling factor of life. Remember, God is all in all. Christ is in God. That's why I say God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself because Christ was God. Amen. Now that's a mouthful, and a lot of Pentecostals ain't going to be able to digest it. Because he was God. But when they make that oneness and they destroy the whole Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, we got a problem there. Because we're talking about three persons in one, which is the Godhead. Now, the kingdom of God will be then a real physical entity on earth. That's when it becomes a physical entity on earth. Just like when Jesus came back, he said, touch me, do spirit has a body like I have? So he didn't have a terrestrial body, an earthly body. He had a spiritual body, but it was flesh, but it wasn't like an earthly body. It wasn't subjected to the carnal ravages of blood. The life was in the blood, but his life is a spiritual man. He was made a spiritual being. That which is spirit is eternal. That's why Satan will be subjected to vanity. He'll be into nothingness, vainness. That's why, have you ever been vexed? That's the most disturbing thing. That's why I was telling you earlier that Lot was vexed by the people he were around. Somebody ever vex you something? So we read here, because you remember we have to fit the Davidic kingdom in this. The Davidic kingdom is an actual physical kingdom. Look under the Davidic covenant. I think we've studied it, and if not, we will study it again. You have to work, see, because we can't throw any of Scripture out. We have to reconcile all this together. So Revelations, I tell you 5:5 about the thrones and things were set up and that we rule and reign with Christ. But it will be a physical kingdom. The physical kingdom of God will be here and it will rule by Jesus Christ with the help of his brethren. We'll be here on earth. So we have to see that it's going to be established here on earth, but that for right now, as it's coming, the kingdom of God is in a spiritual realm, but the process has begun for it to usurp or take over the authority, take it a big by shaking the earth, by shaking the foundations of things. That's why we see this nation and things in it crumbling and the fighting against one another, because God's kingdom is emerging. Man's kingdoms has to fall. So I said, we can't get closer to earth and the world and the things in the world and love not those things. That's why I can see flaws, and that's why I preach and teach to some of us the way I do. Because I really want us all to be in there. I really do. In Jesus' name, let us pray. Heavenly Father, as